Welcome to Spotlight on the Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce. My name is Ward Todd. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend here in the Hudson Valley. And want to invite some chamber members and prospective members to come to events we've got coming up. First, however, a word of thanks to Ulster County Congressman John Faso, our breakfast speaker this past week. Had a great chance to find out about what's happening in Washington. As if a lot of us don't know already, it certainly has been in the news. But to get it from his perspective as our local representative was certainly a treat. Thanks to our sponsor for the day, our friends at Ulster Savings Bank. Coming up, we have some great events for our members and prospective members. Our next mixer is taking place on January the 26th at Mac Fitness in the Kingston Plaza. Lyle and Holly, the owners, have really a great time planned for us. Complimentary food and drink for everybody, of course, and some games of chance. So it should be a fun event. January 26th is the date. Mark it in your calendars and join us at Mac Fitness in the Kingston Plaza. Our sponsor is the Bank of Greene County. And in February, Ulster County Executive Mike Hine is our breakfast speaker at the Best Western Plus. Hope to see you at that. Our sponsor is Gateway Industries, celebrating their 60th anniversary. So pretty exciting stuff. Our good friends now from the Hudson Valley Alzheimer's Association with us in the studio, Vanessa Samuda and Lauren Voorhees. Welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
It is a pleasure. Gosh, I think I can't imagine more discussion, more talk about a particular not-for-profit agency or a disease than we've heard about Alzheimer's in the past year or more. Lots going on nationally, of course, and locally as well. I want to talk about some of the events happening here in the Hudson Valley, but who wants to talk first about what's happening to our society in terms of Alzheimer's? Seems we hear more and more about it all the time, affecting more people.
Absolutely, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's more and more, it's in the discussion more and more. Folks, when they think about Alzheimer's, they think about memory, right? And they say, oh, it's just forgetfulness. And I think what people are starting to realize now, it's that it's not just memory loss. It's a debilitating disease that folks are really losing their life to. Right now, it's the sixth leading cause of death. There's about 5.2 million people suffering from the disease nationwide, and about 40,000 people locally here in the Hudson Valley.
40,000.
40,000.
And so that's the person who's suffering from it.
Yes.
But obviously has an impact on more than just that person. Talk about that for a second.
Sure. So I think it impacts the caregiver in a way that, you know, we have folks that come to our caregiver support group, for example, that'll say for them, they don't have the opportunity to go to maybe their kid's baseball game or even to work because with somebody suffering from Alzheimer's disease, they might need round the clock care. And their daughter or son, niece, nephew, that's their caregiver. So it changes the life of the entire family.
And really has a dramatic impact, I think you'll agree, Lauren, right, on everybody in the household, not just the caregiver, but lots of folks in the whole family, the family unit, everyone is affected.
Well, the whole family is affected, and we offer services. We have care consultations with our licensed social workers to help families across the community, resources and plans for the future. So it really is all-encompassing for the family.
Now, has it personally affected either of you, family member, friend, either of you?
Not me personally, no.
Thank goodness.
I wasn't personally affected until I started working with the Alzheimer's Association. Ironically enough, I think it was maybe a month or two into my position that both my stepdad's father in Jamaica and my mother's father, both in Jamaica, started to exhibit signs.
Well, I'm guessing the kind of resources we have here were not available for them.
Right. But I will tell you one thing. I went into Liz Johnson's office. She's the care consultant for Dutchess and Ulster County, and I broke down in her office. So it was great to be able to, you know, walk a couple doors down and express what I was going through and have somebody that was, as Lauren mentioned, licensed and understood what to say, not just as a coworker and a colleague, but as a care consultant, a master's level social worker. It was remarkable, and I've gone back to her a couple times since then, but it, you know, they're both doing better.
So I think that there is more emphasis now today on the caregiver. Mm-hmm. We certainly understand the dramatic impact it has on an individual. He or she may not have any recollection of it inhibiting them, but the caregiver, 24/7, 365?
Absolutely.
Pretty much?
Right. Yes, absolutely.
That's correct.
And so, I don't know. Where do they go? There are support groups?
There are support groups for people with early stage dementia and their caregivers. We also have social programs for people with dementia and their loved ones, including wellness retreats. We have music socials with certified music therapist Melinda Burgard. And Memory Cafe is usually including lunch and musical entertainment. So they're trying to bring it in and have it be a safe environment where the caregivers can be there and those affected by the disease can have a pleasant experience outside the home.
Yeah, I saw a post somewhere, it probably was on Facebook, a YouTube video of a young man with his father and listening to a song that the father would have remembered from his younger years brought about a kind of recognition in his eyes. Music. So there is a connection with music?
There is a connection with music for sure. Absolutely.
Can we explain how, why?
You know, it escapes me. There's a gentleman that was at our Meeting of the Minds conference last year, and his name escapes me, and Meg is going to say, Vanessa, you should have remembered. But he was there, and the idea is that he did a study where he put iPod Nanos, which is the smaller iPod, right? And I think they're a little bit more inexpensive, comparatively speaking. So he was able to get a grant, I believe it was grant-funded, to start the experiment where he put iPod Nanos in nursing homes or assisted living facilities and did just that. And so they would put on a song that was familiar to the person suffering from Alzheimer's, and like you said, they just lit up. A man that didn't talk for a year started to
singing,
not only sing but able to connect with folks. It's remarkable. So I don't know what the connection is necessarily, but there is something to that.
There is, and I don't have the stats either, but there's something that taps the brain and creates that memory.
Sparks something there to the point where folks can even remember the lyrics, where they might not even remember the day of the week.
Exactly. That's remarkable.
The human brain is fascinating anyway to study. We do want to invite folks to take part in events that are taking place to benefit the Alzheimer's Association, so I know there's some things coming up. Who wants to talk about Sub-Zero Heroes?
That's the one.
So Sub-Zero Heroes is actually on Saturday, February 18th. It's at Berrien Park in Highland, and it's a huge event. It started out as 25 people that participated in 2010, and about 80 people watched. This year, we're expecting it to grow exponentially. So we are in the process of fundraising, and people are registering. Check-in is from 10:30 to 11:30, and the jump begins at noon, jumping into that cold, cold water.
Jumping into the water. Jumping so those heroes water. Really are heroes.
They're here.
They are
in
heroes.
My eyes,
they're
they are heroes. Heroes.
What's wrong with them? Why?
Well, it's a really competitive. This is my first year doing it. Vanessa and I are co-managing it together. And it's a very healthy competitive thing, and people really get really psyched. The jump order is who raises the most money. So whoever raises the most money gets to go in and get out and dry off.
How great. And you can take part, but you don't have to jump in. Can you be a spectator and a contributor?
Exactly. And so, you know, every hero needs a sidekick, right? So that's the sidekick role. So essentially what you do, you fundraise, you're a part of it, you support your hero, but you say, you know what, that water's too cold for me, I'll stand and I'll watch.
Right.
Sounds like a plan.
So you're signing up.
Right.
Place again?
That is Saturday, February 18th at Berrien Park in Highland, and check-in is from 10:30 till 11:30, and the jump begins at noon.
Okay, so if you want to wake up by jumping in sub-zero cold water, this is the time of the day to do it. And is there information about that on your website? What is that website?
That website is subzeroheroes.org.
Okay. And we should give folks your general contact information also for Alzheimer's Association. Website, email, phone.
Sure. Absolutely. So in terms of general Alzheimer's Association information specific to the Hudson Valley, that's alz.org/Hudson Valley. If you're looking for our 24-hour helpline, that is 800-272-3900. That's 800-272-3900.
Okay. Vanessa Samuda and Lauren Voorhees are with us on the radio today talking about some great events taking part to help out those folks suffering from Alzheimer's. So when you raise funds, do they go directly toward your local events? How do you distribute the money after you raise it?
Absolutely. So the breakdown I've heard this many times from folks from other charitable organizations and folks that participate with or volunteer with other charitable organizations, that our breakdown is pretty... It's a... So for us, Like, I can talk specifically to the walk breakdown. I'm a walk manager. And for us, and forgive me on the numbers, but a large percentage of what we raise actually goes back into care, research, and support. So we're talking 75% of what we do. The number's about there. I'm not looking at it right now, but it's about there. And the rest of it goes to administrative support, and then the marketing of, for example, the walk to end Alzheimer's. But a large chunk of what we do goes right back into a research, care, and support.
All right. I know there are other things going on this year, but let's talk about the walk, which is coming up later this year. It's a huge event. And a few years ago, you found the walkway over the Hudson, right, as being the great spot for this?
Absolutely. So the walkway over the Hudson, as you said, it for us, it's a destination in and of itself. So it's one of our largest events. Our biggest one is our Westchester Walk down in Westchester. That's taking place on September 24th, 2017. The Walkway Walk, which is local to the Dutchess and Ulster County, will take place on October 14th, 2017. That's a Saturday, that same weekend. So it's usually the second weekend in October is what we go for. And as mentioned, it's a destination in and of itself. So we get folks that are just walking the walkway that day that say, hey, wait a minute, I want to participate in this. So it's awesome.
That's great. Teams invited?
Yes, absolutely. So we look for folks to sign up individually, of course, but we also love our team participation. And so what typically happens, you have one person in the household that say, hey, I want to do this. And then you get your mom and your dad and your brothers and sisters involved. And that's also a great way to kind of band together and raise funds.
Some businesses take advantage of getting a kind of a team building going on also?
Absolutely. Corporate team. That's a great way for you to kind of come together and walk that day and support your local charities, of course.
And how much do you expect to raise? Any idea?
How much do we expect to raise? Well, This past year, we surpassed $1 million for the first time ever just through the Walk to End Alzheimer's.
$1 million.
Yes.
That's
for
all.
Five local
our
walks
chapter, yes.
For our chapter, we surpassed $1 million for the first time ever. So it was a remarkable first year for me. It was my rookie year. I think when we met, I was like greener than ever. I'm still green, though, but I was greener then.
So obviously you have to maintain that and you have to surpass that, right?
Yes, we do.
That's
yes,
a plan?
That's what we do because, you know, the idea, and I think we talk about it a lot, you know, on our calls and things like that, is this disease is relentless. And for us in development, we're equally as relentless. So the Sub-Zero Heroes, the Walk to End Alzheimer's, the longest day that I'm sure Lauren will talk about, we do these events and we promote these events because this disease isn't going anywhere. So we need to be relentless and find that cure.
Okay. And you mentioned it, Lauren. So what is the longest day?
The longest day is our second signature event. It's my second year doing this. And it's a year-round fundraiser, kind of runs parallel to the walk. But it's held on June 21st, in theory, because that's the summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year, 16 hours of daylight. And it's meant to honor the long hours that caregivers spend caring for loved ones with dementia. It raises money to benefit the chapter as well. As Vanessa said, for research, it goes back in. Team members can be spread out. We have virtual teams, so we can have somebody right here in the Hudson Valley who has somebody out in California set up a virtual team, and they choose something that they love to do, and they raise money around that.
Nice. And so it could be skateboarding, roller skating,
you bet.
Biking.
It could be skateboarding, it could be reading, it could be karaoke is a big one, baking.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
So anything that you can monetize, something that you really love and make money for the cause is what the longest day is all about.
Great. So how did last year go?
Last year, again, I was greener than she was, but I had started with the association in March, and so I had 2 months to cobble it together. So we did okay. So with that said, now I can raise the bar higher for myself because it's easy to beat something and exceed that level.
Oh, awesome. And getting the word out is important, obviously. Got to spread the word about this. But I understand the concept when you're a caregiver, those days are terribly long.
Correct. That's right.
And I want to just mention again, there are some kinds of resources in terms of groups or counseling that's available for folks who live right here in Ulster County, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mentioned Liz Johnson earlier when I was speaking about my personal experience, but she is the care consultant for Dutchess and Ulster County. And I know she's up here quite a bit, meeting with folks one-on-one, phone conversations. I mentioned that 800 number. I'll say it again, if you don't mind, 800-272-3900. I love the concept of this. I think this is my favorite service that we do because it's 24 hours, because you don't know when that caregiver or the person suffering from the disease is going to need to talk to somebody. It can happen at 3 a.m., right? And so to have folks available, master's level social workers available at 3 a.m. is one of the services that I really, every time I talk about it, I'm like, wow, I'm glad that we provide it for folks, you know?
Give that phone number one more time. Folks, write it down. Grab a pen. 800?
800-272-3900.
Okay. And that's any time of the day or night?
24/7.
Right. I suspect that's one of the greatest challenges for folks who are facing someone with dementia, that they just don't have enough answers to their questions and don't know where to turn sometimes.
That's right.
So being there for them is critical. And you're not there unless you do the fundraisers. So we're asking folks to support those. So Sub-Hero Zeros, we talked about the longest day, the June fundraiser, the big walk coming in October.
Sure.
Lawmakers got to help out. Is there already funding from Albany and or Washington?
I believe most recently, prior to our arrival last year, is that we were awarded some grants through New York State. So they definitely have been very, very supportive. But those things happen because we go up to Albany every year and we rally and we say, hey, we need these. And so the rally day is coming up on March 14th this year. And folks, you know, when they want to get involved with the Alzheimer's Association, they might not know where their niche, is that the word? Yep. They might not know where they fit, right? And so maybe you're not a fundraiser. Maybe it's hard for you to go out there and ask folks for money, but maybe you're better at talking to your lawmakers, or you know the law, or you want to be an advocate, and this is where you can kind of fit in. And Debbie Warburton is our Director of Government Relations, and I know she has great volunteers, but always looking for more that want to go up there and rally.
So March 14th?
March 14th. Correct. It's formally, I'm sorry, it's now called Alzheimer's Advocacy Day. It's formally Rally Day.
Okay. And again, so let's, maybe we can back up also and talk a little bit about dementia and Alzheimer's. I think there are people out there who wonder, what is there a difference? What are the differences?
Sure. I think the way I understand it, or the way it was explained to me when I first started with the association, is if you look at dementia as the umbrella term, and so there's dementia-like symptoms, and Alzheimer's is a type of dementia. So there's Alzheimer's, there's vascular, there's frontal temporal. Right. So dementia would be the umbrella term, and Alzheimer's is a type of.
Okay. And once you get Alzheimer's, do you ever get better?
It is the only cause of death among the top 10 in America that cannot be prevented at this point. It can't be cured, or it can't even be slowed at this point. So, again, going back to fundraising for research is really crucial.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Is there a way that folks can... there must be videos and those things available on the internet somewhere in terms of people being able to watch and understand better how these things can impact and how they can get help also, right? Through the Alzheimer's Association?
Through the Alzheimer's Association. So that website that I mentioned earlier, alz.org/Hudson Valley, if you're looking for specific resources, but not only, you know, the online, but we also as an association, a part of what we do is educational programs. So if you look at your local calendars, or in your local paper, you'll see, again, Liz Johnson or Joan Carl, some of our community outreach folks are out there giving Know the 10 Signs, educational programs. I think, Lauren, you mentioned financial and legal, that aspect right. of the disease. We're actually out there giving free educational programs at your library and lunch and learns, at, you know, things like that throughout the community.
That's right. There are, and it communicating with people out there, giving people information. Vanessa said the financial issues, how to cope with the challenges at each stage, and there's something. There really are programs available, healthy lifestyle and more. There's so many options that are free to the public.
Right. That is something I've read about now in terms of being able to hopefully prevent if it's in your family lines. People should exercise, clearly, right? Get the heart pumping.
Absolutely.
Been proven to be good. Get some oxygen to the brain, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Joan, our community engagement, one of our community engagement folks at the association, she said in one of her programs, I remember, what's good for your heart is good for your brain. And I think that's the best way to think about it, right? So, you know, move your body, eat right, all that good stuff. Right.
And so how important is early detection? When you've got somebody who you're not sure whether or not he or she has got some early signs?
Yeah, I think we use our Know the 10 Signs as kind of like a guideline. If you're at home trying to figure it out on your own and you're not sure if you want to even reach out to the association or go to your doctor. And so some of the 10 signs would be memory loss that disrupts daily life. And again, I'm quoting Joan all day today, but she would say that she uses this example. She says, you know, we all walk out of the mall or the grocery store and we say, oh, where did I park my car? That's normal, right?
Right.
But we're able to recall it. But folks that are starting to exhibit signs, they walk out and they don't know where they are or don't know
or if
how
they
got there.
Or, I'm sorry, if they look at their key and they don't know what the key is.
Right.
So, I mean, that those are when it progresses in that direction. There's
right.
normal forgetfulness, but there's a difference, I think.
Right, absolutely. There's the recall isn't there, or you're sitting here and you're trying to think of that word, and you know, eventually it comes to us, but somebody who is starting to exhibit signs, that recall isn't there.
So that's another early sign.
Right.
Opening
right.
the refrigerator door and right. not sure why you opened the door, or right. to go into a different room and you're not sure why you went in that room, those kinds of things.
Right.
So they can worry people, but some of it is almost a natural part of aging, isn't
right.
it?
Some
to
of
a,
it is.
To
absolutely.
A degree.
Yes, absolutely.
That's correct. And
absolutely.
Knowing the difference, knowing the differences.
Absolutely.
So check out those 10 early signs. They're on your website also. And a lot of information there about some of the things that are going on in our brains, the plaques and tangles and those things and what that means for folks who are suffering. So find out all. It's a great website. Really, there's so much information. And I think just recently, I just read something all the time mm-hmm. about not a cure, but a hope for a cure, or another
right.
way of diagnosing.
Right.
Right.
And that's another way. I'm glad you brought that up. That's another way for folks to kind of get to get involved. And again, I say everybody has their area where they want to participate with the association, and Trial Match is another way to do so. You mentioned about those clinical trials, and unfortunately we haven't gotten there yet, but there were some promising ones, and those are promising because folks, everyday folks, healthy and non-healthy, can get involved through Trial Match. That information is on their website, so on our website as well. And so somebody like myself can sign up. It doesn't mean that you're participating in a clinical trial. It just means that you're giving your information. If they find that you're suitable for a clinical trial, they will reach out to you. And that's a way, again, to kind of, if you're not the fundraising type, if you're not the advocate type, which you want to help and you want to make an impact, you can sign up for Trial Match through our website as well.
Great information. Let's get a final plug in for Subhero Zeros taking place in just a little under a month. Who wants to talk about it?
Subhero Heroes coming up, excuse me.
February the 18th.
February 18th at Berrien Park. Registration is from 10:30 to 11:30, and the big jump is at noon.
If there is ice on the lake, and what
they
do we do?
They cut
then?
The ice. We
what?
Have divers in the water,
oh, no.
and they carve it out for us, and you jump into that little...
That hole in the ice.
There. They
That's why you're a hero.
Happen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Be my hero. No question about it. So either agree to jump in or be a supporter. You can yes. be there and watch folks. I know everybody who goes through that kind of thing must love having a crowd of spectators cheering them on,
That's
right?
That's right.
All right. Website. Email information, phone number one more time for folks interested.
Sure thing. If you're interested in that Sub-Zero Heroes event coming up on February 18th, it is subzeroheroes.org. That's subzeroheroes.org. Or if you have any questions and you would like to reach Lauren and myself, you can call us at 845-471-2655.
Keep up the great work. Lauren and Vanessa, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Doing great work for the Alzheimer's Association. Find out more online, or there's a direct link from the Chamber website. You guys are great Chamber members. Got a hot link to your website from ours, which is ulsterchamber.org. All right.
Excellent.
Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
All right. It's a pleasure. So we want to remind folks we've got some great networking events coming up, including our next networking mixer taking place on January the 26th from 5 to 7. It'll take place at the Mac Fitness in the Kingston Plaza from 5 to 7 o'clock. Old Savannah is going to be there doing some great food. Don't want to miss that. Special thanks to our sponsor, the Bank of Greene County. February the 7th is our next business card exchange. It takes place at the Courtyard by Marriott from 9 to 10:30. If you've never done this before, it's a great way to practice your elevator speech. Find out about some other great local chamber members at the same time. A limited crowd of about 30 or 40. Takes place a couple times a year. Next one is going to be on February the 7th at the Courtyard by Marriott. So join us for that. A great business card exchange. Our sponsor for that is Hudson Valley Federal Credit Union. And that's our program for today. We thank you for joining us on the radio. Hope you'll be with us again next week at the same time for another edition of Spotlight on the Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce.